Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
So during the midweek service, I did a teaching, which I'm continuing that teaching today. Hallelujah. Last week, Sunday, I spoke about taking authority over demonic spirits. Taking authority over demonic spirits. And I began by telling us that when you begin most of the time when we start out want to do something, or we start out in a year like this, we pray, we fast, we trust God to be able to establish the desires of our hearts or whatever the Lord is showing us to do. Praise God. We start out to do that. But many times, especially, many times when we're trying to do that, the Bible says that when men slept, the enemy sowed tares. Praise God. So while you're busy working hard to establish what the Lord has put in your heart, or you're trying to do certain things, what happens is that Satan will try to interfere. Are we understanding what I'm saying? The Bible says there was war in heaven. The Bible says, and Michael, the Bible says, the archangel fought with the dragon. And the Bible says, and the dragon was defeated, and he was sent to the earth. And the Bible says, and he was sent to the earth, for no place was found for him in heaven. The Bible says, and there was a cry concerning the earth. It says, O earth, he said, that great dragon, he said, has been sent to the earth. The Bible says, and he has come to the earth with great wrath. He has come to the earth with great anger. So the enemy is operating here on the earth, and he has come with great anger. And because there's nothing he can do to God, you are his next victim. You are his next target. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There's nothing he can do. Because when he can't touch you, he will touch what matters to God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so therefore, last week I began to speak about taking authority over demonic operations, over demonic interferences. Now I want you to listen to me very well. I went home, and there was something in my heart. I was preparing to come and begin to teach that. Then the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, sometimes the challenges, the demonic interferences that people face, is not necessarily coming from outside. Sometimes it's coming from them. Are you understanding that? So I gave this analogy that it's one thing to go out when you are buying fruits, right? They say when you buy fruits, you wash it well. Isn't that so? So that it doesn't come with germs, right? So that you don't end up consuming something that can cause illness. Is that not so? But what if your own hands that you are going to use to eat is dirty? So you must not only get something that is clean to consume, but your hands must also be what? Must also be clean. Now the challenge is that many people go out and pray against demonic spirit, fight against demonic spirit, but their own hands are not clean. So you're wondering, I've prayed, I've fasted, I've taken authority, I've done this, but then you are experiencing certain things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So sometimes the reason why you experience it is not necessarily that there's an attack coming from outside. It is that you have created a conducive environment in your own life for Satan. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have produced a platform from where Satan will fight your life. Are we understanding what I'm saying? And so therefore, you must not only deal with what is happening outside, you must also deal with what is happening inside. In law, we say that he that comes to equity must come with clean hands. When you come, you want to fight, you must be able to also, the Bible says, you are ready to bring every disobedience to the obedience of Christ when your own obedience is complete. Are you understanding that? So there's an obedience. Let me tell you this. Many times, you need to understand this. In the realm of the spirit, are you hearing me? Warfare is not always binding and casting. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes warfare, when they look at you and they assess you, there are things they cannot do to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because your obediences are clear. Are you hearing me? The Bible says concerning Jesus, the Bible says in the book of Philippians, I think it's Philippians 2 or Philippians 4, the Bible says that Jesus, though he was God, did not consider himself to be called God. But the Bible says he humbled himself and took the form of a servant. Is that okay? And died the death. The Bible says even the death on the cross. Therefore, the Lord has highly exalted him. That is, there is something, there was a posture he took. Upon the strength of that posture that he took, he didn't need to apply for promotion. God has therefore exalted him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Thy throne, O God, is forever, and the scepter of thy kingdom is the right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, the Lord thy God has anointed you with the oil of favor above your fellows. So there are promotions. Listen to me. The great promotions in destiny are promotions that come as a result of the obediences you have walked into. And so therefore, I want to look at, so we began to look at certain things that make it difficult, that even when God wants to deliver you, your own, you have created, are you understanding what I'm saying? You have created the right atmosphere, the right conditions for demonic forces and for Satan to operate from your life. So you're praying, yes. In fact, let me tell you this. Most of the time, we do what I call sacrifices. You're praying, you're fasting, you're doing this, you're doing that, but the breakthrough is not coming. Sometimes, not even because God didn't release the breakthrough, but because there are certain things in you that make it difficult for you to even see the breakthrough when it is coming. Praise God. And I want to look at three, four things. And I began to look at something on Thursday. I will not go back. You can get the tape. I'm not going to go back everything. I'm going to move forward. But we began to look at something that makes it difficult for people to enter into what God has for them. And the first of them I'm looking at is offense. Look at your neighbor. Tell him offense. Look at another person. Tell him offense. Hallelujah. We live in a world where people are offended. And we live in a world that produces offense. Hallelujah. And can I go a little further? If you are in Nigeria and an average Nigerian is offended, are you understanding what I'm saying? Because there's a way the systems make you offended. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We just drove in this morning from a meeting. We had a meeting somewhere. We just drove in this morning. You went, you paid money for hotel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You paid, they showed you, they told you, okay, there's this, you paid. In the night, around 2 a.m., they take light. They will not put generator on. The weather is hot. Now, let me ask you, at 2 a.m., are you going to wake up and be fighting the hotel people? Where will you even find them? I don't know whether you're understanding what I'm saying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's only in Nigeria. You will buy ticket at an exorbitant price. Then they will postpone the flight 4 times. Just this last week that passed in Bauchi here. The airline that people booked that was supposed to be 9 a.m. did not eventually arrive till around 11 p.m. in the night. And you can't talk. No, you are not understanding what I'm saying. If you are in Nigeria, you naturally will live with offense. If you are not offended about your neighbor, you'll be offended about the government. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me not say certain things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I was going for a brother's wedding in Lagos. The wedding was for 10 a.m. I got to Abuja. The flight was 4 p.m. I think I slept in Jos to be able to catch up with them, to be able to get into Abuja early. I got into Abuja maybe around 12 or so. I said, it's just 4 hours to when the flight. Let me just go to the airport and sit and wait for it. Got to the airport to go. 4 p.m. flight. They shifted it to 6 p.m. 6 p.m. They shifted it to 9 p.m. 9 p.m. They shifted it to 11 p.m. 11 p.m. They shifted it. They said, okay, let's see, whatever. thank God for some very watchful people. They went and stood by the counter of the airline so that the airline staff will not leave. You say that is repair. You are doing okay. We are waiting with you. 1 a.m. I'm telling you, I took my bag, put it on the chair, laid down. Because 1 a.m., am I going to go and be looking for Uber? Why are you going to 1 a.m.? You are a hostage. You can't go to where you are going to. You can't go back. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We left the aircraft lifted up at 3 a.m. in the morning. 3 a.m. in the morning. You successfully. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I landed Lagos around 5. I entered taxi to go to where I'm going to. As we drove out of the airport, the taxi man looked at me and said, "Sorry, sir, my fuel just finished." You know that in Lagos, 5 a.m., it's not bright, though. 5 a.m. is dark in Lagos. So here was I alone. The man said, "Let me go." There was no fuel station anywhere. The man took, let me go and look for fuel. Left me in the car. I got the hotel they paid for. I couldn't use it. I entered the hotel like this. I just took my bath, changed, went to the wedding. From the wedding, I was back today. So it's like you are awake for 24 hours. The system, are you hearing what I'm saying? The system naturally creates offense around you. I'm telling you, don't know why Nigerians are very angry. Everybody you meet is angry. You greet somebody, he responds to you with anger. You don't understand. I want you to hear me very well. Offense is a weapon Satan uses against people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you know the thing about offense is this. When you are offended, you actually sense an entitlement. You feel that you have a right to be offended. What makes offense very easy for men to fall into is the fact that the offended person has this sense of right, entitlement. He feels he has a right, because there are three things that make people offended. Number one is their pride. When you brush a person's pride, his ego, he becomes offended. Hallelujah. So I told us the story of Haman. You know the story of Mordecai and Haman. Let me have three protocols. Mordecai and Haman in the Bible. Esther, the story of Esther. Let me tell you how, when you hear what happened, let me tell you the root cause of it. God, Esther chapter 3 verse 1. God, the Bible says that Haman was exalted and made like the prime minister, right? So every time Haman, you are Mordecai, stand, you know this Mordecai's come before somehow, just stand with like other people. Every time Haman came to the palace, he was the prime minister and he was walking, others will greet him. Greet me now. Others will greet him. Mordecai will not greet. Every time he is passing, other people, they will greet him. Mordecai will not greet him. So the other people, they came, they advise, come and advise Mordecai. Advise him that when Haman is passing, you should be greeting Haman. Are you hearing what he's telling them? That he only bows down to Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, if you read it very well, these people, they came to come and tell me why he is not bowing. Explain, he's your colleague. So you are, because I'm offended now. I don't know whether you understand. So, it was on the strength of this that Haman wanted to destroy the whole Jews. No, go and read your Bible. It was on this. This was the root of the problem. The root of the problem was respect. You are not hearing what I'm saying. You see this thing you call respect. When somebody feels that his wife does not respect him, trouble starts. No, what is the problem between husband and wife? What's the problem? It's not respect. That respect is what is respect, and what is not respected is put together as respect. If you raise your voice, you are disrespectful. If you don't answer, you are disrespectful. If you answer, you are disrespectful. When you keep quiet, you are disrespectful. Why didn't you talk? And I want want you to see. I'm going to show you something. Mordecai was a Jew, and the Jews don't bow down to anybody. The Jew only bows down to God. It's part of. So the people told Mordecai that, see, go and read. They said, see, the reason why this guy does not bow down is not out of dishonor for you. Is that that is how the Jew is. The Jew is not permitted to bow down. You know when the Jew prays, he bows down. So the Jew does not bow down to any man. He only bows down to God. By the time they were bringing explanation to Haman, Haman was already offended. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you know that was how Ahab killed Naboth? He was passing by his house. He saw Naboth's vineyard. He said, Naboth, give me your vineyard. Naboth said, no, this thing is something that has been passed from generation to generation. I cannot take what belongs to my forefathers and sell it. The Bible says Ahab goes home and becomes sad. You know the sadness? I am king. I ask you to sell your property to me. You say you will not sell it. Then he has one devilish woman at home. Then she went and met him. He was lying down, sulking. Then she said, what's the problem? He said, it's Naboth. Naboth will not sell. Then she looked at him. This was what Jezebel said to him. She said, you are king of Israel. And you say that somebody will not sell his. She said, just say, calm down. Go and eat lunch. We'll handle the situation. See, many wars that have taken place, if it was not because of people's ego, it will never have taken place. And do you know what? You can try to justify it anyhow you want to justify it. But ego is also known as pride and is a work of the flesh. In other words, God is not in it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many years ago, God warned me. He said, you as a pastor, he said, be careful about people that you consider do not respect you. Because he used the story. He said, if you consider they don't respect you, you are going to move in the flesh. Once you sense somebody does not respect you, the next thing you want to do is to prove to the person that you have some power. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Is that not the reason why men have withheld money from their wives? So that I will show you I have power in this house. Am I talking to anybody? Is it not the reason? Are you hearing what I'm saying? They can even give you money for feeding because of the children, but you will never get anything again. The last wrapper you got was the last one you get until you know that I'm the man in this house. And listen to me. You can put it anyhow you want to put it, but it is a work of the flesh that you sit down and you demand honor. Listen to me. The Bible says promotion cometh not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but it is of God. The Bible says God brings down one and lifts it up another. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A man receives nothing except it is given to him from above. May you not with your own power seek for something that it is God that can give you. And listen to me. I'm not kidding. Don't leave this place. I said, thank you, Pastor. That Makagani Magana respect New York certainly, man. I didn't say so. Because if you willfully and intentionally refuse to give honor to whom honor is due, then you have also fallen into the same trap. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. Because the Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. So if honor is due to your husband, give honor to him. If you don't give honor to him, you are worse. Complete the rest. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So the first group of people who get offended are people that feel that they deserve some. Their pride has been affected. The second group of people that get offended easily are people who feel that they deserve something and that thing was not done or was not given to them. I call them the three E's. One is ego. The second one is failed expectations. When people, are you hearing what I'm saying? When people expect something from you and you don't do that thing for them, they get offended. sometimes even what they don't rightfully deserve. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you know that there are many people that are expecting somebody to pay their school fees, and that person has not paid his own children's school fees? Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? There are many people that are expecting people to do certain things for them. Those people have not even done those things for their own selves. John the Baptist was the man that baptized Jesus. In fact, listen to me. John the Baptist had two assignments. Number one, the assignment of John the Baptist was to reveal Jesus. It was John the Baptist that said to us, that the Spirit said to me, the man upon which you see the dove rest, he is the one. So it was John that was able to tell. Many people were coming for baptism. Jesus didn't introduce himself. John was the one that said, see the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The second assignment of John was to prepare the way through repentance. Are you hearing me? So he said, I'm the one crying, whose voice cry in the wilderness, to make every mountain low, every valley filled, and to make every crooked road straight. Two assignments that John had. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When Jesus came, Jesus was to be baptized. John said, no, I cannot baptize you. Whatever. Jesus said, it is of us that we should fulfill all righteousness. John was the mentor of Jesus. He was the one that raised Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? John was arrested and put in prison. Give me that scripture. John was arrested and put in prison. When he was arrested and put in prison, now when John heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples to Jesus. They arrested John. They put him in prison. The man that John raised has now become a senator. No, you didn't get the joke. Okay, let me say it in King James. The man that John raised has now become a great man. Everybody knows him. He's popular. He's powerful. Are you hearing me? And said unto him, that John sent a message, they should go and tell Jesus. And go and tell him, art thou he that should come? No, you are not getting the question. John was the one that told everybody, this is the one to come. Now John sent a message to Jesus, art thou the one that is... Are you understanding what is happening? If you are the one that is to come, you should have come and saved me from prison. Are you hearing me? If you are the one that should come, by now you should know that they have locked me up. By now you should know that I'm suffering. By now you should have come and helped me. Art thou he that should come, or should we look for another one? Look at it. Let's read, continue on media. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. Continue. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. It reminded me of my father. My father asked me to start a business for him. So I was managing a business for him, running a business center for him. So my father would call. He was not it. He was working elsewhere. So he would call and say, how far? How is the business? I'll tell him, the business is doing well. We have gotten to a place where we're able to pay staff now. We have opened a savings account where we're putting money so we can buy more equipment. My father said, that's good. One time he came to town, he called me, said, how is the business? I said, business is fine. Business is doing well. We are paying staff and everything. Everything is doing good. Then one day, my father came to town, he called me. He said, how is the business? I said, business is great. You know, he said, since I've been coming, you've been telling me how wonderful this business is. He said, how about me? How about me that started the business? You have not given me any. Are you understanding what I'm saying? John, so Jesus is listing his exploits. And John is in prison. And John is asking, how about me? Jesus, now look at the last statement Jesus made. And blessed is he whosoever that is not offended in me. In other words, Jesus knew that John was offended, because John had an expectation from Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Kai. And John had an expectation from Jesus, which was Jesus was to go. No, sincerely speaking, even you, will you not be offended with Jesus? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I told them a story on Thursday when I was in Bible school. I was the youngest person in Bible school. So the minister that was sitting beside me, his bed was beside me. He was doing well many years ago. He was doing very, very well in ministry. He was much older than me. So almost all his chores, you know, want to go and fetch water, I will fetch water for him out of respect, you know. And he will meet me. Because I was young, I was flowing among the most of the people there. So he will tell me, he will say, who are those who are struggling among the pastors? I'll tell him, he was from South. He had a lot of money. So he will tell me, many times every day we're going out. Then, I'm talking about 2009, 2010. He will take 10,000, 20,000. He will tell me, all the pastors that are struggling, give this one 4,000. Give them this one 5,000. He said, don't tell anybody. Just give them. Say, somebody said you should bless them. When we were going to leave the Bible school. So while I was doing all of that, I knew my payday is coming. These people, they are not encouraging me. While I was doing all of that, didn't I have an expectation? Was it proper for me to have an expectation? Few days before we were to leave, they brought cars from his church to come and carry him. So he brought clothes, suits, many things, a lot of money. I think about the period we were in that school, that particular time, he must have spent like 500,000. That particular week, he brought out like 200,000, said, write me the list of pastors, you know, that need help as we leave. So I wrote it. How much? He was asking me, how much should we give this one? I said, give this one 20,000. How much should we give this one? I said, give this one 30,000. How much should we? I said, this one, he is in Sokoto area, give him 50,000. And we wrote everything. He gave me all the money, all the clothes. He said, don't tell anybody. Just give them. Say, somebody say you should bless them. So we went for our final dinner. So I met them there. I said, there's something for you. Immediately after, just meet me in the hostel. So they came, they lined up. I said, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. I gave. I saw the man through the window. He was going to the cars that came. So I thought he was just going to go and drop his things, and then he will come. Then he will open his treasure and say, for your faithfulness all through this period, I give unto you the kingdom. The man, and I saw him entering the car. They were closing the door. I went there to say goodbye. He dropped the window and said, man of God, thank you. God bless you. Please call me. I got back. I called him. We were calling and talking. After 1 year, I knew. That was how I knew that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you know you can be offended. I said you can be offended. You can be offended. Jesus told God and tell him, the blind see, the lame. Which one is easier? And Jesus didn't do anything about the situation. Some people are offended because they have been having expectation. May your expectation not lead you into offense. Listen to me. Listen very carefully. A man receives nothing. Let me help you. Any day you have an expectation on somebody and the man does not do it to you, do it for you. This is how to interpret it. Decide in your heart that God has not decided to do that thing for you at that time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, Jesus was going to the cross and they did many things to him. Listen to me. Jesus, the Bible says he offered himself by the Holy Spirit. Listen, when Jesus, the blood that Jesus was going to offer must not be a tainted blood. At that moment, they've done all kinds of things to Jesus. Jesus looked at God and said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. The day I read it very well. And so I said, Jesus, you sure they didn't know? No, I'm asking you, they didn't know. They didn't know it was Jesus. But Jesus had to give an excuse so that he can stand in forgiveness towards them. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you are going to live it with a clear conscience, are you hearing what I'm saying? You must come to the point where you create a good excuse that your heart can be sanctified. Oh, are you not hearing what I'm saying? I invited a major minister. I didn't even really like invite the person. We were having a conversation with the person. And I just said to the person, when are you going to come? He said, I'm coming. They said, what's your next meeting? I told him. He said, We did everything. The day into the meeting, the person calls me and says, when is your meeting? The program has started. The person calls me and says, when is your meeting? I said, sir, the meeting is going on. He said, ah. He said, okay, is this, he said to me, he said, I'm going to come tomorrow. Well, I'm going to do two sessions. He said, I'm going to come. He said, I'm flying in. The jet will wait for me. I'll do first session. I'll take a tea break. I'll come back. I'll do second session. And I will go back to the airport. He said, he said to me, how far is from the airport to the where you're going to? I said, 25 minutes. He said, oh, that's good. That's great. We can work it out. I said, fine. That day came. I called to know whether they have taken off. Quiet silence. Also, I made 7 calls. No response. Then after the whole program, somebody called me. And the person said to me, they were trying to plant offense in my heart. They said, this man, he said he was coming for your program. He didn't come. I said, yeah, I couldn't make it. He said, you know, that's how he is. That's it. He has done it to this one. He has done it to this one. He has done it. When the person was I was switching off my calls. Somebody called me. Somebody was close to the person called me. And said, what happened? I said, when God called that pastor, was I there? When God called him, did he tell him that you should be going for this man's program? No, I'm asking you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, he couldn't come. There's no offense. Let me not say something because some of you now will use it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is no offense whatsoever. Are you hearing? If you're not careful, you will build offense in your heart. The third kind of people that get offended are people who expect external validation. You're expecting somebody to have said, oh, well done. Oh, you're trying. Oh, no. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? External validation. People want to be validated. And you don't get the validation. Right now, there's possibly a woman who is offended because the husband didn't tell her you are looking good this morning. She came here offended. I've never understood. So how many times did you ever give your wife hairstyle? All your life you have never given your wife hairstyle to go and make. Why is it that when they make their hair, they say they do it because of you? No, am I talking to the right person? They said, I make the hair for you. No, if you want to make the hair for me, at least you will ask me. What do you... Guys, why are you quiet on me now? I'm preaching for you now. You should respond. Am I saying anything to anybody? External validation. People get offended. Listen to me carefully. Offense. Few things offense will do quickly. Number one, offense will make you live in sin perpetually. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are two sins that offense produces. There are two sins that offense produces. Number one, if you are truly offended, you will hold a grudge. You will keep people in your heart. You will keep malice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you will have unforgiveness. Anybody who walks in offense will keep malice and will be unforgiving. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They will hold it in their heart. And listen to me. There is no way you will be offended and you will not keep malice. There's no way. And you know, when you are truly offended, some people have never really been offended. When you are truly offended, you will be wishing for something evil to happen to that man so that the person will know. Has anybody ever experienced that before? I know most of you have not experienced. You are true believers. You don't. But has somebody done something to you that you wanted something evil to happen to the person so that God, it's not even you now, so that God can just show the person? Anybody here before? You will not walk in love. You cannot. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because love seeks the best for everybody. Offense will keep you in sin perpetually. And you know what? When you are offended, you don't even know that you are living in sin. You are not understanding what I'm saying. Because offense gives you this feeling that I am right, he is wrong, he is the one that needs to go and come and meet me and ask for forgiveness, or go and meet God to resolve the matter. I don't have it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This morning, we break the power of offense over your life in the mighty name of Jesus. When a person is offended, Offense can kill critical and important relationships in your life. If you allow it, there's nothing that offense cannot kill. There's nothing that offense cannot kill. Romans chapter 16 verse 17. Romans 16, 17. If you allow offense, now I beseech you, brethren, that's why the Bible says, mark them which cause what? Divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. And what do? Avoid them. Offense can kill critical relationships in the lives of people. See, listen to me. Every home that was ever broken started with offense. You know, offense has a progression. Offense begins with somebody said something you didn't like or did something you didn't like. Are you getting me? And when the person did it, maybe the person did not recognize the fact that you were not happy. You probably showed it in your attitude. You probably even mentioned it and the person didn't own up. Listen to me. I want to show you something. The Bible says, walk in the spirit and you will not... Listen to me. This thing is a work of the flesh, yo, and it's a seed Satan plants. Listen. Let me tell you this. Every time you are expecting somebody to come and apologize to you, you are also walking in the flesh. Let me explain something to you. This is how offense works. The word offense in Greek is the word scandalon or scandalizo, which means a trap. So when Satan wants to trap a man, he creates a situation where that person gets offended. Now listen. When you become offended, the person that offends you is not the person that will pay the consequences. You that got offended will be the person that will pay. So listen to me. When somebody offends you, this is what you do. You don't respond in the flesh. You respond in the spirit. And you respond in the spirit that you decide, I will not be prideful about this situation. Even though he is or she is the one that offended me, I will take the responsibility and go to a talkly person. That, are you hearing what I'm saying? That is why the Bible says, if you bring your offering and you remember that it seems as if while you were bringing your offering, Minister Peace was not smiling at you when you pass. And listen to me. You begin to know that somebody is offended at you by the way they look at you. This silence, is it that you are not getting what I'm saying? Or is it that you are getting what I'm saying? You begin to know. Listen to me. The first sign of offense is withdrawal. It can be emotional withdrawal. It can be physical withdrawal. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It can be withdrawal of commitment. Once you notice a withdrawal, are you hearing what I'm saying? Know that there is high tendency that offense has taken place. The Bible says as you are bringing, you notice peace normally will shake your hand. Today, she just did like this to you and you pass. The Bible says drop it. Drop your pride. Go to... Are you hearing what Jesus is saying? Go and meet the person. That at that point, all you have is a suspicion. You didn't hear what I said. All that you have is what? Is a suspicion. Listen to me. You can lose what took you 10 years to build if you allow offense to come in. And when you do this, remember what I'm trying to tell you is that at this point, Satan is not the one actually actively at play. He has thrown the thing at you, then he steps back and allow you to destroy yourself. There are people you need to talk to, but you vowed, I will never talk to this person. I will never ask this person this. I will never. Do you have anybody in your life that used to say, I will never? Anybody like that? You have anybody like that? Now, if you have ever said, I will never, repent today and say, I will. I have changed my mind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Have you ever said, one day, don't tell him. All of you know the person I'm about to talk about. Don't tell him. I have a younger brother. And I have only one, so... All of you, no, don't tell him. Don't tell him. If you tell him and I find out. One day he was very hungry. My mother was cooking. She was doing to, you know, to swallow. So she was making it on the fire. He was very angry. He went to the kitchen, stood over my mother. After a while, my mother didn't answer him. My mother was dishing out the food. Because my mother knew he was hungry. She was dishing out the food, you know. And you know, when you are dishing out, it's very hot. He looked at the toast and said, my mother married to her now. He was quite small at that time. So married to one. So we thought it was a joke. The next thing we just knew, he slapped the toe. He's a doctor now. Doctor, I told you, if you go and meet him, you'll get into trouble. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen to me carefully. When you are offended, you will think you are doing it against somebody. It will come back to you. It will come back to you. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 16. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 16. Quickly, please. Proverbs 6, 16. These 6 things that the Lord hates, yea, 7 are abomination unto him. Verse 17, guys, let's go. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Yes, we're going to 19. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. The Bible says the Lord hates he that soweth discord among brethren. Number 3, when you are offended, offense can stop the move of God in a place. Listen to me. Nothing can stop the church of Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It was Jesus that said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. But listen to me. Any church, any fellowship, anything, any organization that allows offense to come into it, that church will destroy itself by itself. Listen to me very carefully. Part of the challenge that we're having in the body of Christ, listen to me, if I hear me very well. Nobody has the complete gospel. Everybody was given a dispensation of the gospel. Paul said it, that a dispensation of the gospel has been given to me. A dispensation of the gospel has been given to Peter. Now listen, when God gives a man a dispensation of the gospel, if God gave you faith, or if God gave you holiness to teach, or if God gave you prosperity, we need holiness, we need prosperity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We need every dispensation of the gospel. Now listen, when God gives a man an assignment, that man that God gave that assignment to, if the man will be faithful in that assignment, one thing will become, the man will seem to be extreme in what God called him to do, because that is what God called him to do. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So when God calls a man to teach holiness, are you hearing me? He will teach holiness until he brings you to the point where he tells you don't watch TV. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because he must become, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? He is committed to what God called him. Are you getting me? And sometimes it may even look extreme. But that is what God gave him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This thing we are doing in the body, that we are at, there's never been a time in the body of Christ that we have attacked each other like we are doing now. Listen to me. It's not Boko Haram that will pull this house down. It is not wrong policies that, are you hearing me? We may eventually be the very people that may stop what God is doing amongst us. Because we have left the devil and we have made one another the target. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I was in a meeting and somebody asked Keith Butler. Keith Butler is one of the sons of Kenneth Hagin. He is close to about 70 now. Keith Butler was there. Mark Hankin was there. Mark Hankin is the guy they said that took over the anointing from Kenneth Hagin. I was in a meeting, few of us, attendance on invitation. I think about 100 of us. I was in a meeting and somebody asked them a question. Because God brought the faith movement began through Kerry Hagin. The resurgence of the faith came through Kerry Hagin, Kerry Copeland, you know, and then Oral Roberts, that group of people. Now, they asked, but somewhere along the line, something happened, broke the sea, you know. Casey Price went this way, Copeland went this way, Kerry Hagin went this way, and then Kerry Hagin went to be a little. So they asked him a question. They said, what was it that made the faith movement in us dive? Keith Butler said something. Keith Butler said, I was there. He said, I saw everything that happened. He said, what happened was that offense, schism came into the thing. He says, it came into the thing. And the moment that comes, it kills them. Are you hearing me? there was a major move of God. Because of time, I didn't want to read, but let me show you something quickly. Let me show you something. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. Acts 15, 36. There was a major move of God that God began with Barnabas and Paul. Are you hearing me? Barnabas and Paul. God began major move of the ministry with them. And they were moving together until offense came into the situation. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Next verse. And Barnabas determined. Now, Barnabas, listen to me. Barnabas, there were two people that mentored Paul, Ananias and Barnabas. Barnabas was the man, the Bible says, that went to look for Paul. He was the man that discovered Paul. So, Barnabas was a greater preacher than Paul. Even when they went to a place to preach, they would say, Barnabas is used. This one. They gave, are you hearing what I'm saying? Barnabas had a ministry. He had a ministry of raising people. And Barnabas determined to take with them John Mark. John, whose name was Mark. Yes? This is the guy that wrote the book of Mark that you read. This one. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the world. Next verse. And the contention was so sharp. They fought. The Barnabas and Paul fought. The fighting was so clear. The contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed on to Cyprus. Next verse. And Paul chose Silas and departed. Now listen, when I read this thing and I got here, sir, I saw something. The next segment said, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. In other words, when Barnabas left, because of how bad the fight was, he did not wait for the church to come. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In other words, there was no resolution. Paul, on the other hand, if you look at it very well, it looks as if it is Paul that was looking for trouble. But it was Paul that stayed back, and there was a resolution with Paul. Are you hearing me? And the Bible says, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. After this verse, you will never hear of Barnabas again until the Bible closes. Offenses will end the move of God in the lives of anybody. To end the move of God, it stops a man from seeing what God is doing. Thus, he is not able to partake in that thing that God is doing. I don't have time to read. Offense breaks the atmosphere of the spirit. Wherever the spirit of mu is moving, offense will break that atmosphere. Offended people carry an air, an atmosphere with them. Have you met somebody who is offended before? Have you met somebody who is offended before? When a person is offended, enters a room, there's a spirit that comes with him. When we started church, there was a lady in this church that was like our prayer leader. She was close to one man of God in this town, who, as at that time, I did not know. So every time when we close service like this, the man of God would park his car across the road to pick her. Then he would be saying to her, this church you are going to, what are they even teaching inside this church? This church that you are going to, what is it that you are even learning in the church? And small by small, the man sowed something in her heart. She will come to church. She's our prayer leader. She will come to church. She will come offended. Once she comes offended, the atmosphere of the church will change. One day I walked up to church. God told me. He said, take out this person. The Lord gave me certain instructions. Many years ago, how many of you remember when we were doing joy service? When we did joy service, how many of you remember? I mean, remember when we did joy service? Now, let me tell you. Joy service was an instruction because of a spirit of offense that entered church. Many people have met me and said, let's do joy service. No. I did joy service because there was a spirit of offense that entered the church. It will kill the joy. It will kill the move of God. Because where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Finally, the absence of joy will destroy productivity. Please listen to advice I want to give you. If you are an employer, don't employ people that are not joyful. They will bring a spirit into your office they will come with a spirit into your office. Your office that used to be lively, people are excited, people, they come with that spirit, they kick productivity. Nehemiah 8 verse 1 says, the joy of the Lord, what is it? It is your strength. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I say, are you hearing what I'm saying? Can I give you another advice? Don't marry a man or a woman that is not joyful. Ah, you don't know what I'm saying. And let me add it, especially a woman that is not joyful. Because the woman creates the atmosphere in the home. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you know, let me say this. I hope you know that when Satan often wants to attack a home through a woman, he will make the woman offended. And the moment the woman is offended, the atmosphere of the home is contaminated. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you will come into a home. The man tiptoes into his house. A man will tiptoe. Once the woman is not happy, the joy of the house breaks. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Find a woman that brings joy to the atmosphere. And can I say something to you, man? Keep your wife's joy. The joy of your wife is critical to the health of your home. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When your wife is not happy, that home will not be sweet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? She will serve you food. You will not be able to eat the food. The way she will serve the food, you will be wondering whether there is poison inside. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen to me. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 13. Isaiah 12, 13. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When I was in university, there was a lady. The lady is from my mother's, her father. My mother grew up in their house. So many years later, my mother actually married from their house. You know, like you live in somebody's house, and when you are getting married, you are still living there. So my mother married from their house. Many years later, I started ministry, and the lady came to the city where I was and was attending the same school with me. Then she started attending the fellowship where I was leading. I didn't know her. One day, my mother gets to know that the lady is attending the fellowship. I think I was in 200 level or 300 level. She was in 100 level. Then you know mothers. How many of you have a mother that is African? Especially if your mother is Nigerian. My mother begins to send me coded messages. Like I should consider that lady. She has not met the lady. She'll be telling me how good the girl is. You know, my mother wanted to use me to pay back that family. And sincerely speaking, the girl, fine girl and everything. So I actually started being close to the girl. Then one day, how many of you went to Unimed? How many of you went to Unimed? I was on OAU walk. I was walking on a particular walk. Then the lady was coming to us. Then we met. I said, oh, how are you? You know, we're greeting. Then she looked at me. She said, some people are always happy. Some people, life is going well for them. But some people are just struggling all the time. The moment she made that statement, I looked at her face. I just told myself, the troubles in my life are enough for me. I don't need to add another one. I don't need somebody who has more trouble. That was the end of any consideration concerning anything. Let me tell you, one of the major things I looked for when I was going to marry was a lady that laughs. Nobody preached it to me. Oh, nobody preached it. I just knew that I cannot. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you are a sister, you better be smiling. All this frowning that you are doing is the reason why boys are running away from you. It's part of the are you hearing me? It's part of the contribution. It's part of the reason why the brothers are not coming. It's not spirituality. This frowning you are doing is not spirituality. If the sister around you, tell her, smile a little bit. Smile, smile. Smile a little bit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Frowning is not a spiritual gift. Chapter 1 verse 12. Joel chapter 1 verse 12. The vine is dried up. The fig tree languisheth. the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. When there is no joy, are you hearing me? What offense does is that it kills the spirit of joy in a place. When, are you hearing me? When people become, are you hearing me? It kills the spirit of joy. And once it kills the productivity. It kills the productivity. Listen to me. Don't let Satan plant a root of offense in your house. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen to me. I don't care how justified you feel. Once offense enters into a particular place, it will kill that place. If you love yourself, if you are not ready to leave that place, then find a way to bring resolution to that matter. And the Bible tells us how to do it. The Bible says, go and meet your brother. There's no other way of resolving offense. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Than to go and meet the person that you think is offended or that offended you. Listen to me. The onus of dealing with offense is upon the person that is offended or the person that... If you got any one of you that the Lord reveals the matter to... Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are some people that say, I didn't do anything. How do you know you didn't do anything? Do you know silence can be something? There are people whose weapon, choice weapon of war is silence. They call it the silent... Do you know that people can kill you with silence? There are people who their own response in everything is silence. And they can use silence to bring, because usually people who use silence on people, are you hearing me? Is a form of psychological torture. And they know that they are hurting you. And they know that they know that for you to approach them, you have to humble yourself. So they want to humble you by force. And because you don't want to be humbled, then you pretend there is no problem. And both of you are all fish swimming in the same oil of offense. Let's rise up to our feet.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.